The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We are celebrating World Radio Day. And when you're looking around News Talk Towers wondering who to mark that occasion, well, who better than Pat Kenny? Pat, how are you?
Very well on this fabulous radio day.
Yeah, the whole world rejoices, it's fair to say. So can you bring us back to your first time on radio? When was that?
My very first time on radio, I remember I had been trained to be a radio announcer. And Brendan Balfe was my tutor. He was looking over my shoulder all the time. And he was on a shift in what was called the continuity suite, where you announced programmes. The following programme is presented by whoever. And that was, here is, that kind of thing. And he was doing that. And I was shadowing him as I watched The Professional in action. And suddenly he said, "Will you do the next one?" And I suddenly all of a tremble. And I said, "OK, I'll do the next one. What is it?" And he handed me the sheet. And my first broadcast was, "The time is 1:45.
That was it.
That was it. The very first one.
And those, when they had those continuity announcers, that was always done live.
It was done live. I mean, the whole idea was that you kept a record. Nowadays, it's all done digitally. Mm. But you kept a record. You wrote in, this programme started, you know, The Hard Shoulder started at 4:31:25.
Yes.
And then it finished at whatever, you know, that's part of your job. It was to be, if you like, the legal recorder of what was going out. And part of the reason was that if anything happened, like there was a murder one time,
yeah,
and someone was listening to the radio and they said, "Well, I heard the newsreader saying something about the weather," they could go back to the log and say, "Well, the news started at 4 or at 1:31:02. Therefore, the weather was at da da da. Therefore, what he heard, the witness heard, was at this precise time."
That's fascinating. So that was the version of the kind of digital log, was analog, handwritten. Pat Kenny said he read
and if
that
you forgot to do it, the whole thing was wrong and it could be thrown out of court.
Oh, wow. So this was in tandem with working in Bolton Street as a lecturer. So at what point did working in radio full-time become a prospect?
Well, what happened was I answered an ad for part-time radio announcers while I already had a job lecturing in Bolton Street, which is now, it became DIT and then TUD. Mm. And I was lecturing for a couple of years, saw the ad, applied, was auditioned. It's an interesting thing that I was never interviewed for any job in broadcasting in RTE. I was always auditioned, whether it was covering elections on television or doing television news reading or radio, always an audition, not an interview, which I think is interesting because they want to see how you deliver, how you sell the whole thing, rather than do I know who won the 1927 election in Timbuktu?
Yeah.
You know. Anyway.
Trick question, 1928.
So I applied, was auditioned and was offered a summer job. And at the end of the summer, they knew I was full-time teaching and I was going to get a few shifts part-time radio announcing. And they said to me, "Would you like to swap? Would you like to do part-time teaching if you can organise that in Bolton Street and full-time radio announcing?" And I said, "Why not?"
Yeah.
And that's how it started.
So what was the first show that you helmed?
The first, I mean, when you say helmed, you know, they didn't like you to use your own name in program titles.
Yeah.
That's why you had things like Gay Byrne presenting Music on the Move. Not the Gay Byrne show.
Yeah.
It was Gay Byrne who actually broke the duck and had a show named after him.
Yeah.
So I was doing kind of the Friday morning request program or hospitals requests. They used to have a program for people in hospital. And they would have been the kind of programs that I did. They were what you call disc and patter programs. You know, you say for Kieran Cuddihy, who's now reclining in the Mater Hospital, "Hope you recover well. This is from your granny and your uncle and your aunt. And we're playing for you the Tullochaley Band."
And how different, you know, today, say, the version of that, that doesn't exist obviously on News Talk, but just one floor up versions of it exist in Today FM and elsewhere. A lot of the patter is driven by kind of instantaneous listener reaction.
That wasn't
obviously,
there.
That
simply wasn't
there.
No, I mean, there was no text.
So, yeah.
It's interesting that when you think about that time when there were listener interaction programs, they depended on POST.
Yeah.
You got a letter. There was no email. You got a letter in. So if you did an item on a Monday, say on one of my programs when I was doing daily radio, current affairs type programs, or Gay Byrne was doing his program, which is more allegedly light entertainment, but it was so much more, you might do an item on Monday, but you couldn't react to it from the listeners until perhaps Thursday when the letters start flooding in. I mean, they would take telephone calls, but there was a reluctance to put people on air directly, lest they cause a libel or a defamation.
Did you feel that in that era, because there was fewer sources of news, that people like yourself then who found yourself presenting news and current affairs shows had more influence over the national debate?
Probably. I mean, it was less crowded, pure and simple.
Yeah.
I mean, those programs, whether it was my program or John Bowman's program, Rodney Rice's program, Gay Byrne's program, they were, if you like, definitive.
Yeah.
You know, what happened on those programs and on the news bulletins was the news. Now, there's such a proliferation of sources. What is the news? What's fake? What's real? Who knows?
And is it better today?
I think
proliferation.
It's better for discerning listeners. I'm not sure that going forward it's going to be better. I mean, the latest story we covered today in passing with David Robert Grimes was that the BBC did an investigation into AI where people questioned AI about news events,
yeah,
which you'd imagine are facts. And AI came back with even fake quotes. So the BBC are saying you cannot depend on AI as a tool of the journalistic trade because you may get something that is simply untrue.
Do you feel we're in an era of managed decline when it comes to radio as we've always known it, in the way people talk about linear television being in a stage of managed decline?
I'm not confident that radio will remain as a definitive source of news. That's what worries me, because when I look at a generation below me looking at their phones and taking everything as gospel from their phones just because it's on their phone, they seem to trust it because it's, if you like, an intimate instrument. So it's a worry, but I hope there will be some sort of counter-revolution in this regard.
And, I mean, what might the counter-revolution look like? I mean, is that...
Well, for example, in Finland, they're teaching infants media literacy.
Okay, I know what you mean.
So
yeah,
that's where the counter-revolution will come from, where people will say, you know, I saw that on TikTok or I saw that on whatever platform. And the response will be from someone like, you don't want to believe that, do you?
So kind of a version of, you know, the penny sheets or the free sheets after the printing press became ubiquitous. There's a period in time where it's chaos and people believe everything. And then the kind of the common cultural kind of wisdom, bank of wisdom, as it were, kind of learns, actually, you know what, you probably shouldn't believe now, everything that's in those.
There's a wrinkle in all of that, and that is the regenerative AI, where we can reproduce Kieran Cuddy saying anything.
Yes.
You know, and in one level, when you think of the late Charlie Bird and how he used his own library of contributions to be able to effectively speak when he'd lost his voice, I mean, that's a very positive use of that kind of technology. Mm. But where you can actually make Kieran Cuddy say anything,
yeah,
that's a worry.
Then on the balance of kind of concern versus excitement, where are you on that AI spectrum?
Well, every new tool, I'm an early adopter of pretty much everything.
Yeah.
And that's a fault I have, you know, so you end up with LED bulbs that turn green.
Okay, yeah.
Which should be white, you know. So I tend to be an early adopter in that sense. So I've used AI cautiously.
Yeah.
But I'm now a bit more concerned following that BBC report, because I would trust AI up to this, maybe to put in a 40-page government department report and get it to summarise it for me.
Yeah. No. And you use it in that, you've used it here.
I've used it twice.
Okay, yeah.
And I did believe it at the time. Now I'm going to be a little more cautious.
Yeah.
But then life's a bit too short to be reading 40-page government department reports, is it not?
I think that's why they produce them.
You might be right.
Pat, it's been a pleasure. Thanks a million for joining us.
My pleasure.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.